Okay, how are we doing today? Back today with coffee and chatter. Today I want to talk about the possibility of a gun ban, a United States gun ban, and if it's something realistic. Before I get into that, I do want to address quickly the Second Amendment because there's so much misunderstanding about it. The Second Amendment does not grant any right. The right to keep and bear arms was understood by the founding fathers and actually the English before them as a natural right or a God-given right that came to be understood years before. It was something called the Castle Doctrine, the right for a man to protect his property with a weapon. So the right to keep and bear arms is not a constitutional right. It's not something that the founders put in the Constitution, because anything that grants you a right can also ungrant that right. In other words, renege on it, whatever. For instance, when people thought it was wise to outlaw alcohol and passed an amendment to do it, when the amendment was shown to be the abject failure that it was, and any attempt to do that was just ridiculous, another amendment was passed to basically override the liquor amendment. So, again, the Second Amendment doesn't grant anybody a right. It actually tells the government it shall not infringe upon that God-given right. So we can pass whatever laws we want. We can get rid of the Second Amendment. That doesn't do away with the God-given right, which is where the right to keep and bear arms is founded in. It just means people are going to have to fight over it. And if the people win, the right remains. If the government basically crushes the people, as has been done, I mean, look at China and Russia. Millions were killed after they confiscated guns. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but I'm just pointing out that, let's understand, the Second Amendment is addressed to the government, not to the people, establishing a right. It's telling the government, keep out. So that leads into, now I got to put these on. That leads into my discussion here about a gun ban, which Uncle Joe has been talking about. So, as a prelude to that, let me talk about what happened in New Jersey a couple years ago. On or about December 18th in 2018, 6 months after the legislation had been signed and passed, the particular piece of legislation became law. There was a six-month window to allow people to get their things in order. And what that law did, as unconstitutional as it was, it made any ammunition magazine capable of holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition illegal to own and hold in New Jersey. Unconstitutional, you bet, but given Governor Murphy's own admission at one point that the Bill of Rights was above his pay grade, even though he had previously sworn an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, it's par for the course. Typical governmental type. No basis in reality. So, to implement this law, New Jersey outlined, the brainiacs here outlined three possible paths to deal with what was now illegal contraband. Destroy the illegal items. So if you had a 15-round magazine, which a lot of people had because New Jersey had previously banned larger than 15. So now everybody had 15-rounders. You like to get as many rounds as you can in a magazine so you don't have to keep reloading. Not to go out and massacre people, but at the range. It takes work to load a magazine and then to keep switching them out. So, these were the paths. Destroy them. The second path outline, there were lawsuits brought up. And, a lot of people were unsure as to whether this law was going to, be declared unconstitutional or whatever. So one of the schemes was you could take it out of state, you could take it to a friend's house out of state and leave it there, a relative, or there were actually places within the state that would hold the magazine for you. I believe they did it for free in lieu of the law being ruled on, and if it was overruled, you'd get your magazine back. If not, I think they somehow, they were looking to make something in this so that they got to keep them and compensate you, and then they would turn around and sell them where they were legal, I guess. The third path, this is turn in the restricted illegal magazines to law enforcement. Okay, I'd like to address each of these points. First point, destroy. That's just laugh out loud. I mean, I'm going to go get myself a sledgehammer and take my $25, $35 magazines out into the backyard on the concrete and smash them to pieces. That's laughable. As for the lawsuits and the storage, frankly, it's been over 2 years and I haven't heard anything. So, is this everything still in limbo? I don't know. The so-called high capacity, 11 rounds or more are just sitting around rusting, I guess. And now the most humorous of the paths. I have to believe that this was really not given any serious thought by those who imposed it, and especially upon those upon whom it was imposed. To date, none of the now illegally declared magazines have been turned in. None. Nobody turned any in. I guess that has left Governor Phil, his AG, and the other out-of-control politicians here in New Jersey scratching their heads, asking themselves, aren't the citizens of New Jersey law-abiding people? Why then would they break this law? Otherwise, I guess they think everyone took paths one and two, destroy or storage. Think again, Governor. So to my point, Joe Biden has promised for a long time now to deal with gun violence. Not by dealing with those who are committing it, but by trying to restrict the God-given rights of those who otherwise are patriotic and law-abiding American citizens. Somehow, taking my firearm, me, who is, totally legal, that's going to stop gun violence. Okay, makes a lot of sense, right? Along with that stupidity is the choice to ignore the mandate of the Second Amendment. Remember, the Second Amendment directs the government to keep out because firearm rights shall not be infringed. So again, we're not talking about making laws within the confines of the Second Amendment. There are no confines of the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment doesn't grant me anything. It tells the government to keep out. So that was ignored. Now, Joe prides himself constantly championing and passing what was referred to the first assault weapons ban during the... He was a senator during the Clinton administration. I believe it was back in 1994 when they passed the assault weapons ban. And there's three things to note about this, the ban at the time. Number one, it did not attempt to confiscate previously owned firearms, or what some people would refer to grandfathered firearms. In other words, if you already had one, you know, you couldn't sell it or anything, but, you know, it was not under the ban. It was, number two, the ban was directed specifically towards new sales and, you know, manufacturing of the so-called banned firearms. And the third very important point was there was a sunset clause in the bill, at which date it expired if not renewed by the Congress. The ban, I think it was ultimately did expire under Bush. I think it was a 10-year sunset clause, and it was never renewed. Oh, they cried about that. Now, it's important to understand that there was never any data brought forth that proved the so-called assault weapons ban changed one thing. It had no effect on shootings, and everything basically remained the same. Nothing, no data. Didn't change anything. So, let's talk about H.R. 8, which is the bill currently passed by the House and I guess going to the Senate. And it's known as the Bipartisan Background Checks Act of 2021. It's a raw subversion of the Constitution and the natural rights of Americans to keep and bear arms. That's all it is. They want to make a database and they want to get every firearm registered. Why? Well, I mean, look, I know a lot of people in North Carolina. My wife's family is from there. And they don't have any, they don't have what we have here in Jersey where, you know, every time you, you got to register every handgun and get a NICS check on every other gun as well. I'm not sure what they have for checks, but I believe there are a lot of guns in a place like North Carolina that essentially are not in any database anywhere. So they don't know where they are. They'd love, though, to pass a law and everybody like a bunch of lemmings get in line and say, yeah, here's my two guns, five guns, 50, 25. I'll tell you what each of them is and where they are. No, nobody's going to do that, but that's the idea. That is not, that is infringement. Remember, the natural rights of Americans to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So Biden has promised us another assault weapon ban. And here's an important thing to understand about that. I've searched my soul and there's nothing deep down that would cause me to conclude that another assault weapons ban would be anything like the first. There will be no grandfather clause. This will be legislation that will remain in place until forever, or another Congress with a different bent comes along and overturns it. It's not going to fade away after 10 years. There's not going to be a sunset clause. And the other thing is, you can assure yourself as well that there's not going to be a grandfather clause in it. It's not going to just be in respect to new weapons bought. It's going to be everything. They want everything. They'll go after the AR-15s first. That's the big boogeyman. But eventually they'll come around to, you know, first of all, the first thing you're going to find out if you remove all the AR-15s is nothing changed. People are still getting shot. How many, I mean, hey, one or two mass shootings involve a long gun. They're all handguns. You go up to Chicago, there's people getting killed every week. They're not using long guns, they're using handguns. So eventually, they're going to say, hey, this didn't work. We got to get rid of handguns. So, ignoring the fact that any such weapons ban is not supported by the Constitution. But when did that ever stop the do-gooders from forcing upon us what they think is best for us? And ironically, at the point of a gun with the threat of imprisonment, right? They're going to take my gun. Who's going to take it? Another man with another gun. He's going to come to my house and threaten me with prison or at the point of his gun. So here's some things to think about while we're talking about a ban. Firearm sales are through the roof, especially through 2020 with the pandemic and the riots. And, you know, people saw what was going on. And a lot of people who would never even consider owning a gun wanted a gun. Here's some data. As of the end of November 2020, what I read was from mid-December. So this did not include December of 2020. 34.5 million firearm background checks had been conducted. I wouldn't suggest that that's all the firearms that were purchased, but I guess most of them were background checked. 34.5 million in 11 months of 2020. That was more than any full year since state-by-state tracking started in 1998. And compare that to fewer than 28 million checks in 2019. So we had a big jump in gun sales, right? Now, let's be clear. The purchases represented by those 34.5 million background checks, and my understanding is the first 3 months here in 2021, again, it's going through the roof. Everybody wants a gun. So, the purchases represented by these checks are not all firearms that Joe Biden would initially exempt from his promised ban. In other words, the ban supposedly wants to go after specifically AR-15 style guns. And I've heard any semi-automatic. Somehow they think a semi-automatic is an automatic. It's madness. So, all these, I'm sure, look, people are buying semi-auto handguns, semi-auto shotguns, and semi-auto long guns or rifles. And I'd be willing to bet that the AR-15 is still the most popular firearm in the U.S. When I go to the range, that's pretty much all I want to shoot is my AR-15. So, who actually thinks all these new gun owners who just bought a gun, together with all the hardcore enthusiasts that have had cabinets full of firearms for years, who thinks they're going to surrender their firearms in a so-called double-speak gun buyback program, right? Yeah, sure, I just bought this gun, but no. What are you going to give me, a teddy bear in exchange for it? You going to buy it back for me? You didn't even sell it to me. So, now what, Joe? Is the government going to send men with guns and women, no offense intended, to confiscate previously legal firearms from the homes of otherwise law-abiding American patriots? Are patriots going to stand by and surrender their personal property and countenance a raw, unconstitutional imposed forfeiture of their God-given rights? Is that what we think is going to happen? Are we so historically lackadaisical that we've forgotten that the British Army in the colonies attempted to confiscate the weapons of the patriots? I mean, look, short time before the Boston Massacre, the authorities were telling the people, turn in their guns, we'll keep you safe. So, the Does it escape those decrying weapons of war on our streets? That the weapons used by the colonists to throw off the tyranny of King George were the same weapons held by the standing British Army? They didn't have the, oh, these are weapons of war, only the Army can have them. You guys protecting your home and trying to fight tyranny here, you guys can have a musket. These guys can have submachine guns. Nah, they all have the same weapons. Nobody, look, the second, look, the right to keep and bear arms wasn't for honey, okay? That was only one aspect of it. The founders knew that government would eventually become tyrannical. And so there was no, you know, that's why they had weapons. Even Barack Obama told us, he was smart enough to know, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And if you've ever watched Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones, you'll remember that scene where the guy was flashing that sword around and Harrison Ford whipped out his pistol and shot the guy. Yeah, really. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You're not going to fight tyranny with a one-shot rifle. So, to add insult to injury, Joe Biden is now encouraging the Supreme Court to rule in favor of allowing law enforcement to enter private homes and confiscate firearms without a weapon, without a warrant, sending us back to the pre-revolutionary tactics of the occupying British Army in the colonies, the very issue addressed by the Fourth Amendment. The colonists were tired of the British coming into their homes and taking and doing whatever they wanted. So, again, an important point. An AR-15 is a semi-automatic sport rifle. Not the automatic rifle carried by the U.S. military and some law enforcement. So we need to let the lie of battlefield weapons in the streets die the ignominious death that it deserves. It's a lie. We need facts during these times when we're debating such critical issues, not doublespeak. Well, there you have it. My main point is that any attempt to initiate a gun confiscation program is not going to play well. It might just be the straw that breaks the camel's back and the catalyst for massive civil unrest. So till next time, thanks for watching Coffee and Chatter.